Good morning, Carlisle House. Welcome to this assembly. So today is World Children's Day. It's a day of celebration organised by UNICEF. It's to mark 30 years of the United Nations Convention on the Rights of the Child. So first of all, can I extend a special welcome to Jenny Clare, visitors today representing UNICEF for the Rights Respecting School. And we also have Susan, who supported our Rwanda trip. So, welcome. Now, as a rights-respecting school, you know that rights matter here. And the UNCRC has become a big part of what the school is about. And there's no doubt that the convention has been important in improving conditions of young people all around the world. So, for example, in 1989, an estimated 13 million children died before reaching their fifth birthday. The latest figures show a decline in that number to 5.2 million in 2018. It's also true that more and more children are able to attend school and fewer than ever are working as child labourers. But 170 million still are. We also have a growing number of child soldiers in parts of Africa, the Middle East and Southeast Asia. So much remains to be done, but we are the lucky ones, because 260 million kids around the world still have no school place. So for this special year, third year Rebecca Gregg of our Rights Respecting School Committee will give a talk to mark 30 years of the UNCRC. Thank you.
Thank you, Jake. Good morning, everyone. Happy World Children's Day. You know about the United Nations Convention on the Rights of the Child. It's exactly 30 years old this year and has 42 articles, covering all aspects of our lives. It sets out the civil, social and cultural rights, which we're all entitled to. It also makes it clear that adults and governments must work together to make sure children everywhere can enjoy all their rights. Every child around the world is entitled to rights, whatever their race, gender, religion, language, sexuality, disability or any other status. The rights are linked, and no right is more important than any other. The right to relax and play, Article 31, and the right to freedom of expression, Article 13, are just as important to the right to be safe from violence, that's Article 19, and the right to an education, Article 28. The United Nations International Children's Emergency Fund, or UNICEF, is the global organisation working for children to secure the rights described by the Convention. UNICEF oversees the Rights Respecting Schools programme. As you know, you are in a rights respecting school. Kirkcaldy High School respects and promotes children's rights, and we do it well. That convention, the UNCRC, is the most widely adopted rights treaty in the world, and it came into force here in the UK in 1992. It states that all children should grow up in an atmosphere of happiness, love, and understanding, and that the best interest of children should be a primary consideration in all matters that affect them. Imagine a world where that was truly delivered. It would need to be a world where there was no wars, no hunger, no poverty, no preventable diseases, no childhood neglect, no trashing of the environment or our climate, and we would all have equal access to schools. What a world. That's surely a world worth chasing, where happiness, love and understanding have a chance. A world where dignity, equality and the rights of all our human family are the foundations of freedom, justice, peace and social progress. That's a United Nations quote, not mine. I think the UNCRC is especially important because it's based on the Universal Declaration of Human Rights from 1948. Which proclaims that childhood is a special phase and that children are entitled to special care and assistance. It has changed the way we are viewed and treated in legal terms around the entire world. Children should be viewed as human beings in their own right, not just as passive objects of care and charity. It's changed schools for the better and has even given young people a voice. The articles are often grouped into four categories: survival, development, protection, and participation. For World Children's Day, let's focus on participation. In a rights-respecting school like Kirkcaldy High School, the voice of young people is valued. We're a community where the adults understand the responsibility is to guide and lead, but also understand the responsibility to allow young people to develop these skills too. I remember it being said in assembly once that if education only ever amounted to adults instructing young people, telling them what to think, then the human race was doomed to repeat all its mistakes forever. How could anything ever improve? And now we have Greta Thunberg in the climate strikes. What an example of youth speaks. To quote Greta Thunberg, "How dare you? Tomorrow's world is mine." I personally think that we should all leave the planet in the condition in which we found it, if not better. Maybe you saw Greta at the UN in New York. She said, "All you can talk about is money." She challenged world leaders. What a fantastic role model for my generation, for the voice of youth. Somehow, the more that people like Donald Trump attack Greta Thunberg, it feels like we are winning. Suddenly, the voice of tomorrow needs to be silenced rather than just ignored as it was in the past. So, what I am trying to say is that in my opinion, guaranteed human rights covered by international laws are the basis of a secure, free and fairer world. And those rights of children laid out by the UNCRC 30 years ago are more important than ever. Know your rights, speak out, because when youth speaks, it almost always says the right things. Thank you.
Wow, how are we going to follow that, Dr. Murray?
I don't know.
Thanks very much,
Good
Rebecca.
Question.
So we are here to talk to you today about our wonderful experience in Rwanda. Welcome has already been extended to Susan Smith, who was
coordinator?
Coordinator. She
looking
was a looker after her, Jibu getter. Susan made our trip really, really special. Just to link into what Rebecca was saying there about the rights of the child, many of the projects that we visited that are run by Comfort International were about providing a safe environment for these children and getting them into school and getting them into a more positive destination. As well as the school that we visited, Group Scolaire Bumbogo, very, very progressive school, all about gender equality. They are all about people working to their full potential regardless of their background. I'm not going to talk too much. As you know, I love a chat, but I'm going to pass over to Dr. Murray.
So just tell you a wee bit about Rwanda if you don't already know. So Rwanda is a country in the east of Africa. So if you're looking at the map, if you kind of go down to the middle and then to the right, Rwanda's just there. It's quite a wee country. It's surrounded by places like Uganda and Tanzania, and like a lot of countries in the area, it was colonised by Europeans, and in Rwanda's case in particular, it was colonised by the Belgians. Its history really centres on one particular event. In Rwanda, there were three tribes. There was the Hutu, the Tutsi and the Twa, and the Hutu were the ones, they were the majority, so it was more kind of them than the other two. And they were encouraged to view the Tutsi as like a kind of lesser kind of species in a way, a bit like the Jews in Nazi Germany. And as a result of that, prejudice was built up against this group of people over a number of years, and that culminated in a genocide against the Tutsi in 1994. And it's the truest sense of the word genocide. To say that people were like hacked to death in that particular incident is no exaggeration. That is exactly what happened. And it was neighbours against neighbours. It was friends against friends. It's one of the worst incidents that has ever occurred in this world. So as a result of that, what you have is you've got people who've lost their families, you've got kids who've lost their parents, all of that kind of stuff. And Comfort International is involved in supporting those people. So kids living on the streets, you've got widows of the genocide, you've got orphans of the genocide, and all these folk are supported by Comfort International. So our team's going to come up and tell you about that, and also a bit about the genocide memorials that we visited. So like any big event in this country, of course, we've got World War I memorials and World War II memorials, which we were talking about a couple of weeks ago. In Rwanda, you've got genocide memorials. So they're going to talk to you about that as well. But before they do that, we're just going to have a quick word from our sponsor, because, of course, there were three teachers on the event.
Hi everybody, it's Miss Marr from the north of Thailand. Thank you for including me on your assemblies. It's been about 4 weeks on from the trip getting back from Rwanda. It's It was an absolutely amazing trip. Thank you to everybody who was involved. Thank you for everybody who was supporting us, from within the team and out with the team as well. The team has a lot to tell you about forgiveness, about reconciliation, about how cooperation and caring is obviously a foundation to Rwandan society. And they're obviously going to tell you about a lot of cute kids and babies and so much more that I don't have enough time to tell you about. What I would say is please take on board everything that they say, you know, think about it, digest it, learn from it, live a little bit of it, and yeah, it'll be nice to see what happens next. I know that Mrs. Cunningham and Dr. Murray are really keen to do another trip, and I would love to hear about how many people and who decides to apply for that, because I think there's a lot of big hearts that could go on the next trip if that's possible. So thank you, see you later.
So we're going to start inviting the team up here. So first of all, team, can you line up in order that you're talking, and they're going to tell you a wee bit about their experience.
Hi, my name is Lauren, and I'm going to tell you about my experiences at the Comfort International projects we visited. These were Batsinda, Gazansi and Naibasindu street kids projects. They were set to help kids get off the streets and give them an education and a chance of a better future. I was amazed to see how welcoming the children were, and I loved getting to know them all, and it was an honour to get to teach them a little bit of Highland dancing. I was worried I would be judged, but they were also kind and friendly towards all of us. I feel I have gained confidence from speaking to people I don't know. This is normally difficult for me, but because they were so enthusiastic and welcoming, it was so much easier. Dancing, singing and sports is a huge part of their culture. And for me, joining in with this was a massive challenge. They have so little, but yet they are so grateful and respectful for what they have. And this is something I have learned a lot from and want to bring back to share with you all here.
So my name is Kieran. I'm going to tell you about some of my thoughts from the project as well. So what I would say is it starts with one smile. And that's what happens the second you step off the bus. You're bombarded by so many kids who are so happy to see you, all smiling, and then because of that you can't help but to be happy to be there with them. The street kids projects are influential. They're getting kids, as I say, off the streets and showing them opportunities with education, friends and work. They are making a difference. Not one kid that I see seemed unhappy. They are truly doing so much but with so little, and that's where you have to commiserate them. They take nothing for granted. You see kids playing games with a stick and a tyre. They also have a game called Agati where you are simply running around in a square and chasing someone with a stick, but it does so much to help them take their mind off things. I had the privilege of also being able to teach a large group of kids some rugby, in which I could see how much it meant to them to be able to share such an enjoyable experience with us. And I completely felt the same. I was glad to have that.
Hi everyone. So when we went to Rwanda, we visited three memorial sites. I think we can all agree that what happened in Rwanda was absolutely terrifying. Nearly 1 million Tutsis were slaughtered in just 100 days and no one was spared. Women were raped with men carrying HIV. The men would then spare some of the women so they would have to live with it. Going to the memorials made it feel so real, seeing all the dirty clothing and the broken skulls. The whole experience was so intense.
Hi, I'm Zena, and I'm going to tell you about my own experience at the genocide memorials. Personally, out of the three genocide memorials that we visited, the National Genocide Memorial Museum was the most hard-hitting. Out of everything I saw and learnt in this memorial, the saddest part overall was learning about the deaths, especially the child's deaths. These were shown in the child's room. An example of this is Gillette. She was 2 years old and she was smashed against the wall. In the child's room, they also included their last words and their favourite food. This made it feel especially heartbreaking. One girl, aged 12, her last words were, "Mum, where can I run to?" These were especially hard-hitting, as unlike the other memorials, you could put a name to the faces or clothes shown.
Hi, my name is Dominika and I don't even know where to begin. Rwanda was an amazing experience inside out, from the people to the culture to the beliefs and everything in between. I felt truly honoured to be submerged in such a diverse and welcoming community, and if the opportunity presented itself, I would gladly return in a heartbeat. For now, I'm going to speak a little bit about the memorials we visited while we were over there. Every memorial had something different to offer, which made them all unique and interesting in their own way. The main memorial based in Kigali was my personal favourite as it told the story of the genocide and was most informative about the events that took place there. The Nyamata and Nichirama memorials were much more chilling as we walked through the ruins of the churches and buildings with the piles of skulls and bones encased in the glass boxes next to us, and the feeling was very surreal as none of us had ever seen anything like it before. From the whole experience, I certainly took away some valuable life lessons that I will carry with me every single day. Thank you for allowing us to share our experience with you all today. You could also have this experience, as Dr. Murray and Miss Cunningham are looking for applicants for the current third and fourth year for the next trip in September-October 2021. Keep an eye out on the bulletin for more, and if you want to find out about our time in Rwanda, you'll see it up there. Thank you.
Thank you to the team there. So, again, the message now comes to you guys. We are looking to have a return trip to Rwanda in 2021. And if you are in the current third and fourth year, you're going to get the opportunity to apply for that. We're looking for folk who are interested in doing something really different. We're looking at folk that enjoy an adventure, and we're looking at folk who want to help other people. This is a great opportunity to do that. It was really nice to see other rights, kind of, that sometimes we maybe don't need to think about so much here. We saw them really being applied in Rwanda. So things like Article number 27, the right to a decent standard of living, we can really see Comfort International working on that. Article 28, the right to an education, Comfort International work on that one as well. And Article 29, the goals of education. So talking about education being appropriate to the child, we could really see the school working on that as well, in terms of gender equality and in terms of the ethos and the fact that their education there is so child-centred. And what was so surprising to me is that I really expected education in an African country to be kind of really harsh, everyone sitting in lines and copying off the board, and it really wasn't like that. It was actually very much like being in a classroom here at Kirkcaldy High School, which was really, really surprising to me. So I say it's nice to see the commonality between our country and our attitude here and Rwanda and the attitude there as well. So if you want to experience that too, please come and have a conversation with us or a conversation with one of the members of the team. If you want to find out more, if you go and have a look at our blogs, khsinrwanda.org.uk is the website to go to, because everybody in the team wrote about their experiences. So thank you very much for listening, folks.
The blogs are also up on the Rwanda notice board, which is in the RE corridor, so you are more than welcome to look at that as well. Thank you so much for listening, and thank you so much to the team as well. Yep. Well done.